This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, and as usual, in the studio with me is
Frida Liu.
It is Thursday, the 19th of November. It is already Thursday. Can you believe it? And on the show today, we're talking about, well, the recent spate of water cuts, water disruptions in Selangor, in the Klang Valley, in Kuala Lumpur. We thought, you know, we've given it some time since the last water cut and everybody should have calmed down by now and thought, you know, now we can actually have a productive conversation about these water cuts and its impact on businesses here in Selangor and in the Klang Valley. So on the show today, we're asking you, do water disruptions make you think twice about dining at restaurants? Tell us what you think. You can get in touch with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. And we have a poll happening on both those platforms. Frida.
Okay, so the question is, do water disruptions make you think twice about dining at restaurants? Yes, 62.9%. No surprises there. No, 25%. And sticking to food delivery, 12.1%.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess what we want to know is, you know, what do you think about when these things come? Because I guess for some people, it's like, I don't have water at home, so I just want to head out and get my food and, you know, not have to worry about washing pots and pans and plates and stuff like that. But also, you know, it also makes you think about how are these restaurants coping with the water cuts as well? Right. You know, how are they washing their cutlery?
Their vegetables.
And of course, you know, how do you then wash your hands if you have to dine at restaurants, right? So these water disruptions have increasingly become a problem here in Selangor and KL. You know, often it leaves millions of households high and dry for several days or sometimes even up to a week. And you know, with the notice sometimes only issued at the last minute, and it causes such a inconvenience to businesses and industries reliant on steady water supply. Now, if you live in an area where you've been lucky not to have experienced the frequent water cuts this year alone, you might not truly understand the impact of these water disruptions. The scrambling, the frustration, the general, why does this keep happening, right?
It's become a running joke. And you know, when you look at people, it's been a tough year for businesses. And this does not help in the running of businesses, right? Whether you're in F&B or whether you're in an office, for those people back to the office. A little background into this issue before we move any further. These water cuts have mostly been due to river streams being polluted with solvents to burst pipes at pump houses. The rivers that are most commonly polluted are Sungai Semenye and Sungai Selangor.
Yeah, and to maybe jog your memory on just how bad we had it this year, especially in the Klang Valley, here's a list of water disruptions in the state since the start of the year. And you'll notice, you know, as we read this list out to you, that, you know, we've had one actually every other month. So it started off on February 7th, which had 57 areas in Gomba facing water disruptions for 24 hours due to a burst pipe in the Ulu Klang pump house. Then March 17th, a month later, water treatment plants in Sungai Selangor and Rantau Panjang were forced to halt operations after odour pollution was detected at the raw water intake source in Sungai Selangor. Water supply was fully restored only the next day. And then a month later, April 16th, another round of odour pollution resulted in the Sungai Selangor water treatment plant shutting down, affecting 1.2 million users in KL and most parts of Selangor. So that was for another 24 hours.
We took a break in May. We came back in June with a water pipe near Jalan Alangat in Klang burst, affecting the areas close by. July 14, almost 300 areas were affected by a scheduled water disruption due to repair and improvement works to the Sungai Selangor water treatment plant. That one lasted almost 3 days. August 11, 20 areas in Gombak faced another round of water disruption, this time due to scheduled upgrading and replacement of critical assets at the Sungai Gombak water treatment plant.
And then September came the big one. More than 1,200 areas in the Klang Valley, Petaling, Klang, Shah Alam, Kuala Selangor, Ulu Selangor, and the list goes on, right? All experienced an unscheduled water supply disruption following the halting of operations at the water treatment plants in Sungai Selangor. Selangor and Rantau Panjang. This is, of course, due to odour pollution once again that was later identified to have come from a factory in Rawang. This disruption was the longest for Selangor in 2020 yet, with the supply fully restored about 6 days later.
Okay, so that's September. Okay, October. The water treatment plants Zumanye and Bukit Tampoi caused operation suddenly, leaving 274 areas in Petaling, Hulu Langat, Kuala Langat and Sepang without water. The cause was attributed to, again, odour pollution once again, this time possibly originating from Nilai Industrial Estate in Negeri Sembilan, and water supply was restored in stages within 24 hours.
And finally, of course, the one that we experienced this month, you know, just before Deepavali, which affected about a million households in the Klang Valley as water contamination was yet again detected in Sungai Selangor.
Okay, I'm looking at this, right? So this is, just basically January and May where we had, you know, undisrupted water supply.
Yeah. And you know what comes with these dry taps?
Yes.
Angry netizens.
Of course. Okay. And let me go. Okay. So this way you go. So this dry taps, thousands took to venting in social media following the cuts, especially the big one September. They questioned why the problem has been recurring year after year, or in this case, month after month. While some could not resist leaving catty remarks on the matter. Yeah. Some even said they were thinking of suing the authorities responsible for the inconvenience.
Yeah. So now, while we fuss about not being able to shower, imagine what it feels like for businesses and industries that rely on a steady supply of water. Now, this directly affects livelihoods. Now, like we discussed yesterday on our show, you know, we mentioned how Selangor is the economic heart of the country. It contributes almost 30% to the country's GDP, and businesses have been continuously paralyzed by unscheduled water supply disruptions with, sadly, no sustainable solution in the pipeline.
Pun intended.
Yes.
SME Association Malaysia President Dato' Michael Kang said most of the industries have suffered losses with those involved in food production. He told Bernama all food manufacturers need water to ensure food safety and hygiene. Without water, how are we going to keep the food safety standards?
Yes, exactly.
I don't need cholera now.
Oh, the Star also did a piece where they spoke to several business owners, and one entrepreneur from NR Tart Enterprise in Shah Alam said that the company will lose between 3,000 to 4,000 ringgit a day if the tart cookie manufacturing factory experiences water supply cuts. 3,000 to 4,000 ringgit a day. And then there was also a chicken supplier in Meru, Klang, who said that he had to halt his business for 4 days last month due to the unscheduled water supply disruption, causing a loss of about 5,000 ringgit as he could not supply fresh chicken to canteens and eateries. So it completely disrupts business.
Right. And if you own an F&B outlet, these water cuts have become more than just an inconvenience. They become, like you said, a food safety issue as well, right?
Yeah. And, you know, after the break, we'll be speaking with a food culinary innovator at Ocean Flare Group. We'll be speaking to Navin Karu, and he runs several restaurants and F&B related businesses and catering services as well. And we'll speak to him about just how disruptive these water supply cuts have been. But in the meantime, get in touch with us and tell us how it's affected you. Do these water disruptions make you think twice about dining at restaurants? How does it change the way that you purchase food or your eating out habits? And also tell us why. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Instagram. But for now, we have a little bit of Radiohead with High and Dry. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we're talking about the recent spate of water disruptions and its impact on businesses. And of course, you know, how it's made you feel about dining out and eating out. You know, do water disruptions make you think twice about dining at restaurants? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Instagram. A quick recap of the poll.
A resounding yes, 63%, you know, make you think twice about dining at restaurants. No, 25.2%, so you're still going out there. Sticking to food delivery, 11.8%.
Over on Instagram, we have 72% who say yes. They think twice about dining at restaurants. That's over on Instagram. We also have a couple of messages, but Look at WhatsApp.
All right. So this is Maggie Bears. Definitely worried. Prefer to eat cup noodles, instant and canned food. In fact, my worry started with the COVID pandemic. So the water cuts gave me an excuse to ban the family from ordering food delivery. So should have sterner penalties law for water pollution culprits in every rakyat. Should be more vigilant to prevent it from happening. The authorities should seriously implement and educate the rakyat in waste disposal of all types, recycling measures. The whole works. Inculcate this important habits like how the Japanese seem to be doing it so well, right? I mean, like, one of the things as well, you see all this rubbish being thrown out, right? I don't know why people just can't just stuff it in the bin in their home. Just, you know, stuffing, throwing out of windows, throwing out of cars, you know, that sort of thing.
Over on Instagram, we have Tennis who says, how is the food prepped at these restaurants? We also have Issue Anne who says, but I'd be mindful of where I eat, as in must be a hygienic place with possible water storage. Now we have on the line with us right now Navin Karu, founder and culinary innovator at Ocean Flare Group, which runs several restaurants and F&B related businesses and catering services as well. So some of the restaurants that you may know is Vince in Tamantun, Manjas in KL, other F&B related businesses, you've got Big Boys Barbecue, Sago Catering, Penang Walk, The Velvet Lounge, and of course the food company right here in Tamantun. Now, Navin, thanks for staying on the line. Now, we have to ask right off the bat, how disruptive are these water cuts exactly? You know, we hear of F&B outlets who are forced to close during these times, but not all have to resort to measures like this, right?
I think the first issue being is, you know, with the lockdown and the CMCO, there's already a limited amount of guests. So when you now have to deal with the water cut, it affects numerous parts of the operation. And let's just talk about the restaurant. Let's just say Vince, for example. A lot of our equipment now has been integrated with a water system. So like we have ovens that use high steam injection. And this high steam pressure cooking actually comes from water, so that you get like a more moist product. So instead of normal ovens, like a convection oven that uses air and electricity and the gas, this is basically high pressure steam ovens. So can you imagine that entire system does not function anymore? So we have to resort to very traditional cooking methods, and which can actually change taste, quality, and we have to, you know, have extra staff to look after the station so that the quality doesn't get affected. So the first biggest concern is how it will affect the taste, affect the equipment. The second issue that we face is how do we now we need, you know, because we have to wash our fruits, veggies, our meat, things like that. So, you know, we have to store water, and we have large bins that we store, you know, water bins that we store. And this also gets in the way of the operation because, you know, it's a smaller space to work around. Even in a butchery in Delhi, the food company in Tamantun, because that every time we run a production, like say we make fresh chicken sausages,
right,
and then we need to wash down the entire room before we run the second production, which is say beef sausages. And then we have to wash the room again when we do fish. So that it requires quite a bit of water, and then not being able to have that water disrupts that process. So our production power levels get affected, and therefore we have to replan our production because there's simply not enough stored water that we can use to basically wash down the rooms, these cutting rooms. So it's quite a challenge, you know. And one of our other business segments, when we go for catering, and especially when it's at people's houses, you know, we have this small boutique catering there where we send the kitchen, or where they can set up a kitchen in their house and do it for like 6 packs, 8 packs, like sit down dinners for Sago Catering. That gets affected because now we essentially have to bring our entire water supply there. So, you know, we're having mineral water bottles and 5-liter bottles of water for washing, for serving. Because we have to still maintain the hygiene and the sanitation levels. So we have to make sure that all that is taken into account. So it's like a double whammy. I think it's like a slap on each face, you know. So one is CMCO and one is the water level.
So it is harder to manage during the CMCO.
Yes, because you're already dealing with, I mean, it's harder to manage in the sense that it affects the business more because you have lesser customers who are coming through the doors, lesser events, so that the fact that you have lesser business to deal with. At the same time, you have to deal with the situation of now, hey, how are we going to manage without the water? You know, there's extra costs involved in buying water, extra costs involved in hiring staff to make sure that, you know, the toilets are, you know, cleaned more regularly. We have to use water in the toilet. So it does affect, you know, and sometimes the storage tanks do not store enough water, so we need to upgrade them. So these are the things, but these are the issues that we face. And if there's a better way to manage this system, I mean, we would hope that there is, you know.
So, Navin, are there any changes to the customer experiences, you know, during these spells?
I think the customers are a little bit, I mean, maybe in the more like Mama-style restaurants and stuff, the customers are a bit more wary, like, you know, how are they washing? What are they doing in general in the industry, you know? So that, I think there definitely is a bit of concern. So it is important to showcase, you know, how are you actually managing your dishwashing? How are you managing your sanitation? How are you managing the toilets? And it's also difficult for the toilets, you see, because toilets require pumps, you know, require flush systems and require, you know, so it becomes quite challenging, and it does affect the customer experience to some degree, but it depends how much effort each restaurant puts in or each business puts in to dealing with the situation. So it really depends restaurant to restaurant, depending on, like, some people may just close their toilets. So then that would definitely affect the situation. Some people may just close their restaurant, so definitely there's no customer satisfaction in that. Some so like what we do for certain dishes, we do that require water, we 86 them, which means we keep them off the menu because it requires that special oven with that steam injection. Otherwise, we'll have quality issues. So does it affect the customer experience? Definitely to some extent, yes.
So that's another issue, right? Some F&B outlets close off the hand washing areas during this time. But in the age of corona, where hygiene and washing your hands frequently is so important, this may not be the next best course of action.
Yes, that's true. But I guess it's not so regulated, like, for example, where people are, the health department going to come around and then check, you know. There's thousands of restaurants out there. So I think it's the onus is on the owners to think how they want to manage this. And if you have a restaurant, you must allocate space for washing hands. I think that's crucial. Even if it's as simple as having mineral water bottles there with a soap or with a sanitizer for people to do it, I think that it's a basic requirement and a basic need. And if you're a guest and you go to a restaurant, I think you should be able to ask the management to provide that kind of facility. I'm sure that they would oblige, because you have to use your hands for certain things, and definitely when it comes to food, you'd want that to happen. Or, and even stuff like put maybe wet wipes on the table so they can wipe down the cutlery, wipe down the plates if they feel, you know. Those are kind of steps. And guests can also take steps. If they're going to restaurants, bring maybe a bottle of mineral water, or maybe even bring some wet wipes, so that there is, you know. I think the onus is also on both sides, you know.
So how much of a warning would be ideal to help F&B business owners better manage these incidents?
If possible, you see, I mean, if there's an accident, then of course we know that nothing can happen. But at least if there's a two-day, I would say, at least a two-day minimum warning, so we can be able to better prepare in terms of, one, staffing, in terms of water storage, in terms of maybe even purchasing larger, like, bins to store water. I think this would be important, because restaurants use a lot of water. We use water upon... Just imagine, right, when you receive your fruits, vegetables, meat, that goes through an intense washing process. And then you have your dishwashing area, which uses... And all our outlets use proper dishwashers, like Winterhalter dishwashers, which requires hot water. It goes through a particular system. So imagine that whole system can't work. So you need to hire maybe two dishwashers for the day, one to two dishwashers a day. And then, you know, you have the prep area, which, you know, you constantly wash down after each prep, each time you do it. So there's quite a bit of water used in a restaurant, and we need at least a two-day time to schedule staff, to fill up the water bins, to communicate to the managers, let them know what's going to happen. and then to get the toilets, make sure all the tanks are full, and then have the additional water in the washrooms to wash hands and to use the washroom. I think that's really important.
So finally, Naveen, we understand how frustrating this must be for F&B outlets and business owners in general. So any advice for business owners at this time to better manage these disruptions should, heaven forbid, these cuts happen again?
Yeah, I think the main thing that we got to be mindful in this industry, because we're dealing with food, and we're dealing with people's lives essentially. And if you know, if they eat something unsanitary or if they eat something that, you know, it can affect them in a bad way. And I think we have to take great responsibility to make sure that when there is water or when there is no water, we make sure our responsibility to have water, have sanitizers, have the relevant soap at restaurants, making sure that, you know, staff stay hygienic and customers are able to see that and follow the SOPs. I think it's very important to actually, for each restaurant or each business, to create a set of SOPs regarding, because the water cuts are so frequent, I think it's important to have a set SOP that when the situation happens, what exactly is going to happen. Even maybe to have someone to have mineral water bottles in the toilet, as simple as that, to put that Dettol soaps in the toilet, in the washrooms, to make sure that all staff have enough water to wash their produce. I think those SOPs are very, very important, and it's up to the owner and the management to make sure that, you know, everybody implements this.
So your own SOPs so that you're prepared, right? That, of course, was Naveen Karu, founder and culinary innovator at Ocean Flare Group. Thanks for that, Naveen. On the show today, we are talking about water disruptions and if they make you think twice about dining at restaurants.
I'll have to give you an experience where I went to a restaurant and halfway during makan, the water supply happened because I started off with just normal water and I said, can I have another glass of warm water? It says, there is no water. Would you like bottled water? And I said, no Evian for me, please. And then, of course, I had to go. And you know, when you got to go, you got to go to the ladies, right? It says, there is no water. What do you do?
What do you do then? Well, if you want to know what to do then, well, you got to stay tuned because after the break, we'll be talking about F&B business survival tips during water disruptions. What you can do to create a better customer experience during these water supply cuts. But for now, here's Blondie with The Tide Is High. Another one. But you know, get in touch with us. Do water disruptions make you think twice about dining at restaurants? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp at BFM Radio, on Twitter and on Instagram. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.